doing? I'm Justin. I'm an alcoholic. How's that for sound? That's all right. I made the mistake of asking Glenn who the speaker was, and he replied, you. So that was something I won't do again, but that's all right. I'm not a huge proponent of the whole everything happens for a reason cliche, but I do think that it's probably good that I'm speaking, because I've been gone for about a month. I've been up north, Boston, Maine, Philadelphia, everywhere. So I haven't been to nearly as many meetings as I like to go to. So I guess it's good to get back into it, get thrown into the lion's den, if you will. So, yeah, sorry. I grew up in Maine. Luke, right? Did you say you were from Maine? We're probably the only two people here, so. I grew up in Maine, and I came from a family that didn't drink at all. Nobody around me drank. I didn't really know what alcohol was until I was like 12. So I'm kind of the stereotypical, or not stereotypical, rather the antithesis of what you think an alcoholic might come from. I wasn't exposed to anything at all, but from a pretty young age, I guess the easiest way I could say it is my friend just said this to me when I was home. She said, you just go hard at everything you do. And that's kind of the way it was. It wasn't alcohol for a while. I was a late starter. I didn't have my first drink until I was 17. But in the beginning, it was basketball. I was obsessed with basketball, I mean, my whole life, really, but starting from when I was 3. And I was just kind of all or nothing. Like, I had to shoot every single day, or I'd have anxiety attacks. And it's that type of kind of relationship toward anything that I did that I think ultimately led, you know, to me going so hard at alcohol. But I didn't, like I said, it didn't happen for a while, because fortunately I had positive things to kind of direct my energy toward, namely basketball. I did have a brief, I know it's AA, but I did have a brief drug experience when I was 12. I decided to be the Scarface of my middle school and started selling a lot of drugs, and thinking I was the man with like $50 in my pocket. But that literally, it's really strange to look back, because that lasted 1 year, and then a bunch of kids, it's a while ago, I don't remember how it happened, but got suspended for selling marijuana, and I didn't, but I realized that was probably the time to stop, so I did. And but like I said, I got thrown into that really, really young, and I just loved it, and I went really hard at it, and then when I decided to stop, I again threw myself into basketball. So here we are in high school. All I think about is basketball. All I care about is basketball. I shoot every day. We go on family vacations. Like I said, I have anxiety attacks if I can't shoot. All I care about is going to college to play basketball. And I have a girlfriend. So those things, I think, were probably factors that led me to kind of have a quote-unquote normal high school experience without the influence of alcohol at all. And then senior year, I broke up with my long-term girlfriend and explored the party scene of high school. So that's when I started drinking. Like I said, I was 17. And the first time I drank till I threw up. So that was kind of probably should have been a sign that it wasn't for me. But, I hear people, you know, talk about the idea of wanting to be able to drink normally. And I can't want that, because it's not something that I've ever done or fully understand. I mean, I guess I could want it, but it's not something I've ever really wanted, because all I've ever wanted from alcohol was to get as messed up as I could as quickly as I could. And like I said, it started from my first drink. So my senior year, though, I really believe that sports were, you know, basketball namely, but I played tennis and golf also, were factors that kept me kind of in line. So I had a pretty positive high school experience. Even my senior year when I was drinking, I was just drinking on the weekends, kind of normal stuff. I mean, every time I drank way too much, but it seemed like everyone else did, so it was all right. And then I went to college to play basketball at a small school outside of Boston. So to some extent, I fulfilled my dream. It wasn't UCLA, but it was still college basketball. And the first night I was on campus, I blacked out and woke up in my bed. This was the first time this had really happened, because before, you know, I was at home, things were a little more structured. I woke up in my bed, had no idea how I got there, and was pretty scared. You know, obviously it's a relatively new place, and it was a pretty scary experience. But I went to breakfast. We had a team breakfast that morning, and everyone was just laughing about the night and things that I'd done, and it just completely normalized it. And I think that's kind of that's a theme that, looking back, I've come to realize, is that right from the get-go, I surrounded myself with people who drank the way that I drank, or maybe I ended up drinking the way that they drank, whatever it is. And it normalized it to the extent that I just never thought anything we did was particularly strange, including, you know, blacking out virtually every time we drank, you know, throwing up, whatever it is. And looking back, it's really kind of insane to think about the things that I did and how I could have believed they were normal, but it was just, like I said, it was everybody around me did it. The basketball team was, nobody had any drug issues, but they were serious, serious drinkers. That's all we ever did whenever we had a chance. Obviously, it was limited to some extent because we had to still play, be able to play basketball. But I can remember one practice. We were running sprints for an hour and a half because the coach was mad at all of us because we'd all got caught doing stupid things the weekend before. And as we ran, he literally called out a person on the team and said something stupid that they'd done over the weekend. And mine was, Justin, supposed to be one of my best freshmen, shows up blackout at the assistant coach's house, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm running, and I'm thinking to myself, that happened? I vaguely remember that. And apparently what had happened is that our assistant coach had people over to play poker and do different things, and somebody had brought me there. I obviously wouldn't have chosen to go to my coach's house. But so I was, you know, kind of a mess. Right from the get-go in college, and but I managed to eke it out for 2 years, and I ended up quitting after my sophomore year. Ended up quitting basketball. I really thought it was because I was kind of done, you know, all the typical problems that I don't like my coach, I don't blah blah blah. But I mean, looking back, I really just wanted more time to drink, and that's exactly what I did. I drank much earlier. I started at 4 or 5 every day, usually when basketball things were happening, so when all my buddies were going to practices or going to games, I'd know that they were doing that, and I think it would just cause, you know, some emotion in me that I couldn't handle it, that wasn't what I was doing, and it's what I should be doing. So I was drinking a lot, and I was drinking always exactly when they were playing, and I should have been. So there's not a whole lot more to say about college, except that I managed to make it through fine. I mean, I graduated. But my alcoholism right after college changed in a way that I noticed my friends, like I said, who drank like me, that it didn't. And that is, there was about maybe 3 months after I graduated, I was working as a personal trainer, which is what I did up until about 2 years ago. And I was with my girlfriend at the time, and I had a 12-pack in front of me, and I remember this. I think it's interesting because I don't know that everybody has such a kind of clear moment that they can be like, that was it. But I put the beer to my mouth and I said to my girlfriend, I need this right now. Like, I don't know what I would do if this was taken away from me. And although I drank ridiculously through college, I'd still had sober nights. So the thought that I was going from abuse to dependence was a little bit frightening. But at the same time, I don't remember caring a lot. I wasn't saying it with like tears in my eyes. I was just acknowledging that now I'm a full-blown alcoholic, I'm dependent on this, I have to drink every single night. You know, that was maybe like day 6 that I'd been drinking in a row, and that was a rarity because college was more like 3 or 4 nights a week, whatever. So I kind of can pinpoint, you know, when I became dependent. That was, I'm 28 now, that was when I was 22, just out of college, like I said, and I didn't have a sober night until 9 months ago, about March. I should have said that. March 28th is my sobriety date of 2013. So I had about, you know, 5 or 6 years of drinking every night. Like I said, though, it changed. My alcoholism changed in kind of an interesting way compared to my friends. In the sense that, like I said, I became dependent, but I wasn't as ridiculous as I was in college. You know, I had a job and I kept that job, kind of built my training business over the years and was fairly successful. Which included, as you can imagine, as a trainee, you have to work mornings. I mean, I got up at 5 o'clock every day for 5 years, and that would include, you know, going to bed hammered drunk at 2 in the morning. I just, like, found a way to make it work. looking back, it's extremely hypocritical because I remember having dudes like run sprints or whatever we're doing at 5 in the morning, and I'm just like barely there telling them like, yay, be healthy, you know what I mean? It's pretty absurd. So what happened was, you know, I became dependent on alcohol, but I was able to maintain it to some extent. So I would still go out on the weekends with my buddies, and they would do things like be getting kicked out of bars and like slapping girls' butts and like doing things that I'm just sitting there like, dude, like we're 25 now, like, or you know, however old we are, like take it easy. So I had perspective, and I was rarely absolutely ridiculous with my drinking while I was in Boston. But like I said, I was dependent. None of my, maybe one. I mean, I had 10 friends who all drank way too much, but none of them had to drink like I did. So I always wondered, you know, what was it about me that made me do this? Like, you watch shows like Intervention, and inevitably it's like, you know, he was such a cute kid, blah, blah, blah. Like, father died, parents divorced. Like, I was like, I don't have any tragedies in my life. I mean, I am extremely lucky. I have a really loving family. I've had as good a life as I could ask for, and yet I was sitting there drinking every night thinking, like, why am I doing this, you know? And it's really through Alcoholics Anonymous that I've come to recognize, you know, the disease, the fact that I was just an alcoholic. And that's, you know, that's what happened. So it was an interesting time, the time in Boston. Like I said, it wasn't entirely a shit show, for lack of a better term, because I had a job and I held it, and it was basically, you know, doable. But so the real change happened about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, when I moved down here. I've been living, like I said, in Boston. I moved with my girlfriend to Tampa. I'd been playing poker part time on the side when I was, what's it called, personal training, and I moved down here to play professionally, which turned out to be. Everybody's probably thinking it turned out to be horrible. It didn't necessarily turn out to be horrible in that sense. It turned out to be horrible in the sense that it just, my alcoholism went ridiculous. You know, the whole idea of it being progressive is something that I probably wouldn't have believed if somebody told me in Boston, because like I said, I was to some extent maintaining how much I drank every night because I was just forced to. I had to get up so early and I had to, you know, be a person. And then we moved down here and my girlfriend was going to school, and I was setting my own hours, doing whatever I wanted. So the amount that I drank became, how much time do I have? Anyone? 5 minutes. The amount that I started to drink just became absurd. And it was, I could still function in the normal kind of night hours and like have dinner with people and whatever. But when we got back, I just drank until I passed out every, you know. And I just started to get scared at the amount because I'd start setting limits for myself and never come close to keeping them. I was very big on limits, and I'd always talk to my girlfriend about them, like, I'm setting these limits. But the bottom line is that she would go to bed at 10 or 11, and I wouldn't pass out until 2, 3, 4, whenever I decided to, or whenever the alcohol decided to make me pass out. So she didn't really have a full idea of what I was doing, and kind of how bad it had got. All the while, by the way, she's going to school to be a social worker, and she currently works right there at the center. So with women who are addicted to substances. So she was certainly, she was very, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. She was understanding of the whole thing. And not particularly pushy for me to stop because, again, she didn't fully grasp the whole thing. You know, I'd have 5 or 6 beers before she went to bed, and she'd be like, all right, that's probably it for him. He's a six-pack a night guy. I'll have to live with that. I mean, ultimately, I guess that's what she thought. But it was, you know, a lot more than that, and she didn't really understand how late I was staying up or how bad it was and kind of where I was going in my head when I was drinking. I mean, she started to get bad. So, or I thought she didn't understand, I should say. So basically, I don't know what to attribute it to, because the truth is that I was isolated from my family, who, like I said, I love, I have a good relationship with. And my girlfriend didn't even really have, or I didn't think, had a full understanding of my alcoholism. So I didn't have anybody telling me to stop because I was able to kind of keep it under wraps and then still work the hours that I needed to, playing cards at night or whatever. So I was still, again, like I was in Boston, like functioning. But I was scaring myself with the amount. So I was scaring myself with the amount, and I woke up one morning. I remember standing in the shower, and I just yelled to my girlfriend, and I said, I need to stop this. I need to go to detox. And she ran and got the computer, which, again, I thought she didn't know, but apparently she was kind of on board because she was like, yes, let's do that. So she ran and got the computer. I mean, God bless her. She was amazing. And, I went to detox, and I completely don't have any time left. But I went to detox on March 28th, and here I am. I have a sponsor. The biggest thing I struggle with is kind of reaching out to people. I'm not particularly good at that, but I do credit the program for being sober today. I'm relatively happy, and I feel, pretty positive about the future. Thanks.